Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Saludos, nuestra gente. We are here for a very special conversation with the one and only co-host of mine, but also chingona, artista, rapper. Like, how many more things do I say about all the things that you do, mujer?
Girl, tell them to Google it.
You know, Google it. But basically, she's running shit out here, and she has an incredible album coming out on Election Day called Sasa, produced by the one and only J-Hard, who's also joining us here today.
In the house, in the building. Bah, bah, bah,
J-Hard, you should feel super honored, because Latina Theory usually almost exclusively only features woman, and today we have invited you as a special guest.
Well, you know, my mom is a woman, so you know,
I came from a woman.
I'm speaking on behalf of
I love women.
Male feminists when I sit here.
We just want you to, as a producer, speak on behalf of all men.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, I have a Y chromosome too, so I can be part of that.
No, but that's real talk. we are going to be having a more in-depth conversation, an exclusive look on your project, Sasa, that's coming out on November 6th, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
And so I want you all to let our listeners know, like, how did this project come about?
Well.
So let's take them back a little way.
Yeah, like, literally this project has been 2 years. 2016.
End of the year.
Yeah, I lost my abuela on October 4th. And, you know, she raised me. She raised all the women, right, in my familia. And was having a time of just trying to find myself's responsibilities in life. And living for what her legacy was personally to me, and the legacy that she also provided for my mother. And I seen how my mother, you know, the transition of the elder in the family, and like how much my abuela was just fearless, and her history and her story, and then how she gave birth to my mother and what my mother has done, and the leadership and empowerment of women in village and in raising a village, and recognizing like how badass my mom, mm-hmm. because my grandmother died at 100 years old. So it was like she was transitioning. It wasn't like, man, you know, a shock. Obviously it's a change, but it's like life and death or nirvana. So it's more of a like, how is my life changing? Mm-hmm. How is my life evolving? Mm-hmm. How do I keep my grandmother's, you know, spirit alive? And how do I be the daughter that my mom was to her mother? And it's like, I have these huge shoes, even though they're smaller than my feet, to fit in. That sounds weird, but it's real.
No, but it makes sense.
Because like, I'm like, I don't feel I'm even as close as being the daughter my mom was to her mother. And the relationship of just womanhood in those three generations.
I mean, it sounds a little bit too like you became more aware of like your own legacy. So you are like, what does it mean for you to carry that on? And what does it mean to reflect on the legacy that has made you?
Yo, it's real talk. And it's like 2016, right?
Yeah.
I was watching the debates with my abuela, who couldn't, you know, she couldn't stand Trump, and she was excited to see that there was a woman running, and she was excited to see that there was environmental rights that was is a wave of recognizing, you know, the world is God and God is the world. And she died right before the election, and then here we have, you know, this pendejo as a president, and who, you know, just diminishes the empowerment of women as being the reality, as being human, right?
Agreed.
And pawning us and subjectifying us. So that mixed into just kind of like a depression of a mode of like being like, man, there is fire with our ancestors that we fight for.
Absolutely.
But there's also struggle of being, you know, going through the same things that they went through in these contemporary moments. And like my husband, at the time he's my fiance, we had just got engaged, planning our wedding. He'd seen like, yo, you gotta focus on Maria. You're doing so many things right now. You gotta write that down. Speak up for that. Think about how many young girls are out there, even women your age and older, that need to reflect with you and go through what they're going through with you, and you go through with them. And Sasa came about with, like, recognizing that empowerment and also wanting to work with somebody who, one, I wanted to work with. Been in a studio with everybody else working with, and I'm talking about Jay Hard, and it had been like in a moment, and there's just a connection during a Ninth House session.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
So I was in a studio. At the time, we had created what for me at the time was the most important communal space to create art together with people who are like-minded, who shared energy. And, you know, we had this really amazing space at the time, and everybody's kind of riding that wave of, like, collaboration. And there was a Ninth House session, which, you know, I produced majority of the first Ninth House record. We started on part two, which shares Maria's husband, then fiancé, with Iself Divine.
Nujah Messiah.
And they had a whole other session going on next door. And I was just kind of by myself working on beats next door. I think it might have been September or October.
Yeah.
At the time.
It was October.
That's October.
It was definitely like, end of October.
And I remember I was rocking this one joint that felt like a late 70s kind of, you know, J version of late funk kind of.
Yeah, it was like
Blaxploitation vibe meets, you know.
The horns. Point. I heard the horns.
Through the glass wall
of the other studio. And I was in there just writing on some different note. I wasn't a part of their session.
Yeah.
And everybody's waiting for Mujah to get in there. And me and Shaka were like, what is he playing? I remember Shaka, we looked, and Delano was just like, don't y'all go in there, Maria. Like, don't. And I kind of looked, I was like, who are you, Delano, to tell me what to do? And Delano's my compadre.
Yeah.
He's like my older bro, right?
And he was trying to hold it down for the session.
He's like, this is about not you guys. And I looked and I was like, exactly. And that's not about y'all either.
I'm a beeline to the next
one. And Shaka kind of, and that's what Shaka is to me too. Shaka's my like the big village bear who's like the padrino, you know? And he looked at me and he was like, hey, let's go up. I was like, hey. We kind of looked at Delano like, peace. And he's like, go up in there. And he knew, he could see how hungry I was for just to create. And I had been in, like I said, in a depressed moment of just wanting validation and respect, not just from people in the rap game and in hip hop, but from also myself to recognize, like, yo, you've been doing this for a minute. Like, I had, you know, shout out to John because he's like, let's do this. And shout out to, like, Shaka and my husband because those men, when we talk about feminists, it's not just being a woman. The feminist movement is a supporter of women. And those three men that at that moment created that door to open up to be like, not created, but motivated me to say, eat it. Talk that shit. Say what you have to say.
Yeah.
Don't hold back. Don't worry about what other people think. You don't ever do. That's what you are. And at times, like, people don't know that. You know, they think, oh, Maria or all these women in the game, the lioness, all these sisters, like, we're strong, but we also need to be reminded.
Absolutely.
By our sisters and our brothers and our men and our lovers, you know. And at that time, it was like, I don't want to work with anybody else but John right now.
in that very moment, I don't think we were thinking about any of this.
Yep.
It was very much organic. We caught the energy. And within a matter of about 3 hours, I think we wrote the entire song. And I think that was the first time that we ever actually sat down and created something together.
We left, though, and took a break in the cafeteria, or in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And we started playing on glasses and drums. And people were like, they're tripping.
And immediately we knew that we were like, you know, two sides to a coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially at this moment in time where I think for me, you know, I've contributed to a lot of bodies of work, but I've only independently released music quietly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's never been something to me that I've formalized enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I looked at Maria at a time, even though we're of the same age group and peers, I look at her as a mentor in a lot of ways too, because she has so much experience in this world.
Yeah.
And she's really invested her full energy into it. And I could say the same about how I've invested in my production craft.
Definitely.
You know, I spent a ton of time, countless hours,
mm-hmm.
and I produced for well over 100 people I have thousands of songs that you maybe never have heard or didn't know I even touched.
Yeah.
There's records that I walk into places right now that I still hear that are mm-hmm. that I've had my hands on. But never have I released a body of work that I felt like was truly representative of who I am in this moment and really throwing my heart into it in a singular focus.
Mm.
And, you know, still dabbling with other things, but this immediately in midst of like everything else going on in our worlds, this became a singular focus for us.
Yeah.
And we quickly rallied around that energy and said, this song is great. Like, we got to do more of this.
So with that, like, you guys can hear the stream of the album.
Yeah.
Like, online on Latina Theory, right? And you can pick it up on Election Day.
11/6.
But I feel like we should actually play the song that we're talking about.
Please do. I mean, y'all have amped it up, and I'm just like, what song is it? Which one is it?
All right. So this is what became Mad Accomplished.
And it was kind of an intro track when it yeah. began, because it really was an intro track. Now somewhere like number 9 or 10 on the record.
Yeah, and I was like down.
It's like a reintroduction. Let me reintroduce yeah. myself. My name's Maria.
Yeah, it really is. This is like just a celebration of like women of color and being mad accomplished. Here it is. Produced by Juan Duro, a.k.a. J.R.
Juan Duro.
We hit a Taco Tuesday before we see the Wolves play. Business before pleasure. Find a point to apply the pressure. Underneath the desk as I undress ya. Whisper in your ear as I address ya. Feel the electricity like we driving Tesla. Oh yes sir, es Lolita, Jovita, Chiquita, Bonita, Boricua, Dulcecita, Caramelita, Azuquita, Mama, on your lengua. Papa, ven pa' acá. Roller coaster and mi cama. Cruises from San Tomas, Borinquen to Bahamas. We don't want no problems. We out here to make commas. No time to read the comments. Eso me vuelve loca. I'm never sober, dancing soca. Yoga when I woke up. Nalgas papaya for your boca. Un poquito más, hilito ahí. Sí, un poquito más, gracias. Homegirl, native Wisconsin, got a doctorate, mad accomplished. They call the savages, now we the baddest bitches. We the catalyst, indigenous and African chicks. Break on average, we'll get a lot of cabbage with which. Peace pipes at the pipeline, cannabis lit. Say the agua, Ochun, Yemaya, Rio de Loisa, Isa, Mama, Caña, Navajo, Roma, Ganja. Cotton candy sweet underneath the thonda while I dance a bomba in the desert, Richie Valens, say La Bamba. Jugo de naranja, dame love in my sofrito. They wanna hear my grito, their lighters are to matanzas. White boy from Minnetonka wanna suck on my manzanas. White collar got the power, what the people need is equal. What the people need is equal. What the people need is equal. Un poquito más, vinito ahí. Un poquito más, gracias.
Es más, un poquito más. Dame más, un poquito más.
Goodbye, mi gente. And that was Mad Accomplished by our very own Maria Isa, produced by J-Hard right here.
Juan Duro.
Blah, blah, blah.
So we're here having, I would say, like an exclusive interview with both of you about this collaboration, this project. Mm-hmm. So you did a great job telling us a story of how the spark happened for the album. Can you share a little bit more about, like, what happened from there? And how does that tie into you all naming this Sasa? Where is that coming from?
So just, you know.
We knew immediately.
Yeah.
From that moment, it was like, we're going to do something with this time, and it's going to be significant. So we kind of sidestepped some of the other obligations, I think, and we fast-tracked this.
Yeah.
And it became like a full-time thought process.
Yeah. You know, we went from this, like, movement and resistance and, like, recognizing women in the revolution. You had to think, like, 2016, there was so much, and heavily we've been involved with the local movement chapters from Black Lives Matter to,
yeah.
you know, Indigenous and Latinx rights.
Yeah.
That's a part of our, you leave work, whether you're in a corporate office or you're teaching, and you go and you with the people and you're fighting for life, right?
It's in the DNA.
Yeah, and like just that whole, that put me in some shoes of being like, okay, man, mama went through this, your mama went through this, I can go through this, you know, like I got this. And trying to find air to cleanse, and that's what writing and music is for both of us,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and I said, I gotta just dedicate this to the women who resist and the women who are our mothers who survive. We're going through this, man, imagine what they've been going through. And like, that's where Sasa came in, because Sasa's my mom's nickname. Sasa's the teenage girl in Baruch Project who, you know, was studying the 13-point platform by the young lords that were marching and was trying to get her fiancé when she was 16 and he was 18 drafted to Vietnam War back home. And
wow.
and dealing with the drug abuse around the projects
yeah.
that are her brothers and family members because of oppressed times and situations that we're still struggling with. And J-Hard got a lot to learn about, you know, the braid of the women of color and how, you know, we had a lot of those deep conversations. He's like, what are you talking about? You know,
because I don't speak Spanish for one. So that was interesting dynamic for the record, because I'm learning about her perspective. And, you know, as we talk about Sasa, I think about Lisa, who's my mom.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And as a woman of color growing up in the era in North Minneapolis and
yeah.
around the street life and
mm-hmm.
how aggressive and dangerous it could be for a person trying
mm-hmm.
to find who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, learning about her struggles and being a part of her struggles and being part of the activist community, whether that's through the education in our communities, or whether that's just gentrification and battling. My mom was a huge battler of gentrification. So I think we both grew up with the mindset that our parents were active in the community and people looked to our parents as role models in
yeah,
the sense
absolutely.
that they were met with resistance. And nobody, I think that's probably a strong parallel.
Definitely.
Nobody would look at our parents like, they're pushovers, right?
Yeah.
Like they're super rebellious individuals. And
no,
that was instilled in us. And that's
yes.
part of who we are.
It's the upbringing. It's the nurturing factor of it. You know, like you're nurtured with food. You're also nurtured with resistance. And also nurturing of, like, you know, you're intelligent and don't let anybody tell you differently. Especially as, you know, we're light-skinned and mixed kids, you know. And J-Hard, he got his Puerto Rican name with this album, Juan Duro. He's North Minneapolis, and I'm west side of St. Paul by
yeah.
way of, like, you know, the Puerto Rican diaspora on the
yeah.
island. And you connect through the culture of hip-hop. And, like, that's in the connection of funk. Like, we're Minnesota kids. We're Twin Cities kids. We reflect both sides of the river.
And that sound, I'm assuming, is reflected in this collaboration.
Definitely.
Right?
But you know what's fun about the sound?
We are the kids.
We are.
the
we
city.
Are. Is that none of this was contrived. None of it. We didn't sit down for, you know, weeks to figure out what's the approach. We literally did what hip-hop represents, which is you hip to it and you hop in. You
mm-hmm.
don't, like,
mm-hmm.
sit around. You just, you act.
Yeah.
It's about the action.
Yeah.
So most of the songs that we created were literally in the moment. I didn't send her a beat pack and she sat with it for 10
nah,
weeks and
we
then we came
made
back.
Music together.
We literally were in the room together and half, more than half of the songs that you hear started from scratch to completion in the rooms that we were sitting
bro,
in.
All of them did.
I'd say a strong 90%. Maybe I had some drums.
Yeah, I mean, we had something like, you know, or ideas, but
it all came to life.
There were textures. It was more like you got all of this material. Now, what are you going to do with it? Like, we had textures and material and colors, right?
Yeah.
But nothing was painted on the canvas or outlined.
It's like we discussed the energy.
Yeah.
And then we translated the energy to colors and sounds.
Yep.
No, right? Absolutely.
And then we translated that into a actual vibration in the room.
Yeah.
And then the drums came out. And, like, all of a sudden, we're, like, already halfway into the song.
Yeah.
And we just, like, hurry up, turn the mics on. Like, where are we at with this? And literally what Maria does is she stands there quicker than most anybody I know. She has an entire concept rolling off her tongue. And I think that's...
I don't know this bar. I've been collaborating with her on this podcast for those
who don't know.
No, it's true,
it's
though.
A gift to Maria's to be able to sit in a space and articulate herself in a way that is so natural.
Yeah.
That it's not, you know, I've been in studios where you're sitting down and people take 5 hours to craft a song.
Mm-hmm.
Maria did every song that you hear in about between 20 and 60 minutes on the vocal tip. You know, we come back and
we
refine.
And we polish it.
And, like, I'm the same way with the beats.
That's him. And that's why I feel like with the parallel angle of, like, being like, man, that we had, like, a miniature, like, we call it like a rumbazo, like
rumbazo.
Like a rumbazo to, like, say, okay, we're on the right page. Like in the kitchen at the 280 studio.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we literally just started playing instruments. And when I knew that, that's how I started music. That's my first connection since I was a kid. So I was like, fuck, I finally met somebody in the city that gets it. He has just as much of that capacity what I want to do with my lyrics and my voice.
Yeah.
But with production and laying it out, you know? And so it just met, like, the way that he's talking about me, that's exactly how I felt with him. And that's what made the album.
So, real talk, when you talk about, like, the amount of, like, purpose and significance that this collaboration means to each of you, so each of you bring up, like, mothers and grandmothers and community and struggle. What was it like to write these songs and also, like, how many conversations? Like, I just can't even imagine the amount of conversations you had that led to the songs. Does that make sense?
What are you saying?
Yeah.
You know?
So talk a little bit more about that. Like, it took you 20 to 60 minutes, but how many, conversations happened?
Some songs took us literally 30 or 20 minutes. 5 minutes. Mujah actually loves, like, this interlude song that we came up with. It's like, or Confusion, which
we
were like debating.
We recorded an entire song, and then as we were breaking down, I go through a couple beats and she just starts freestyling.
And
we made it. So, one of the songs on the project is a 5-minute freestyle. And I played it for my dad when I was in Harlem a couple weeks ago. And out of all the songs I played, he was like,
that.
Yo, that was dope. And I was like, dude, like, that was literally
the hood.
I
loves
it.
That one.
Yeah, that's what it was for.
It was like, you know, let's not overthink the process. Like, just as much as, like, a song either take 30 minutes for me to jot down, 60 minutes, or even, like, I'm a freestyle, I'm a lyricist, right?
And you know, like, she pushed me to not be overly thinking the whole time. And I think I pushed her to just nudge herself beyond the first thought into her, you know, into that second more refined. So I think it was a push and pull. It was a very necessary, healthy tension that kept us on our toes.
Yep.
And it made the flow so natural in that moment.
It's water.
Mind like water.
So can our listeners tune into that song then?
Yeah, you can tune into, if this is the song we're talking about, that we may be breaking down in 5 minutes.
Uh-huh. Yes, please do.
This is Confusion.
You are confused, but now you're found. They try to drown you. But now you're on the black. When we rock around town, we got those pulling pounds. Yeah, we rocking this old town. All around, round. All around, round. Bite them all around. Around for the crowns. Cause I be royalty. Yeah, you see me rocking crown. You see me rocking crown. In the back, puffing that loud. all around, round, bite them all around, around for the crowns, cause I'll be royalty, yeah, you see me rocking crown, you see me rocking crown, in the back popping that loud, and me girls, yeah, we loud, and me boys, yeah, we loud, cause we don't give a fuck, yeah, cause we staying on top.
Yeah, that's confusion right there.
And you know, it's confusing to think about. Like, literally, that was probably the quickest song we did on the project.
Oh, for sure. No,
but it's literally about 3 minutes, the amount of time we invested in it. But it was more like, it kind of embodies the nature of the project, which is, it's in the moment.
Yeah.
It's all right here in front of you.
Yeah.
Full display.
Yep.
And it's simple. And sometimes we overthink. And I know for me, I'm a overthinker, perfectionist, yeah. And that's to a fault. And what I love about both Maria and Mujai is that mm-hmm. just like, yo, this is dope. Keep it pushing. Let's go. To the next. Let's go. And you can learn a lot from people like that, especially as a perfectionist. So it's good stuff.
And like, it takes a lot of like training with it, I should say, because that just didn't, this is the first project where I felt like I've been able to produce, I've been able to record the me that you get to see on stage. Like, people are like, oh, it's different than your recording. Like, I was able to just be me. I didn't have anybody telling me what I should sound like, or that's not, you know, strong enough, or that's not sexy enough, because that's the challenges of being a woman in anything.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
just a rapper, but specifically in studios. And we were very particular. I guess I could say I was, and J-Hart too, with respecting space and who we allowed in our sessions and who we said could be in our sessions.
There was nobody who was just breathing the air. Just yeah. taking up
it's
air
like
space.
You have to do something if you're in here, because this is a spirit. It wasn't like, I've been in sessions, each session's different, but like specifically I'm in a licensing session. I've got 30 minutes to come up with a jingle. I'm in there and I'm getting the fuck out, right? With this was like, look, we're in a cleansing right now. We're in a space of energy that's got to be positive. And if there's anything negative, it can't come in here unless it's going to be projected and performed. And that's how we get rid of it.
I think that was such an important piece about how we started every session. It's like we came in and we set the tone.
Yep.
The environment was right. We were very deliberate.
Light, mood.
We were starting the energy on in the great spot. And from a production standpoint, that is so critical to get into a good outcome. Because there's a lot of times where you're in spaces that are confining. And, you know, we recorded in, I think, five different locations over the duration of the project.
We did a majority of the vocals over Northeast Minneapolis at Nate Vernon. Shout out to Nate Vernon. For opening up his doors. We just loved his space, and he actually in the steps of the beginning of this project, he was like, you need to be in this space.
Yeah.
Your
really
voice sounds
that
your voice
trampoline.
Is for this space. And I felt that. It was like a church, you know, singing at church.
25-foot high ceilings.
It's like a spaceship. If anyone's been in that space in over Northeast at the, you know, after the sound gallery closed, all the equipment went over there and so did we.
So if you all were very specific about the space that you were creating this in, how specific were you in who you invited to be featured on this album? Like, that also connects to that. Then can you speak a little bit more about those decisions?
Asha, she, that summer of 2016, I mean, with all the protesting ahead of time, and, you know, you see your sisters of color, just, you need places of cleansing, you need places of self-care, and this is a sister who I had heard her sing, and I was like, yo, your voice is dope, like, you're dope, I didn't want to rock with you. And she was like, for real? I said, yeah. And she's like, I need some places where I can do that, and I need to be inspired. And I said, well, I need you too, like, we need each other. And that's a big part of showing, like, the black and brown empowerment of women and resistance. Here we are, you know, shutting down highways and
that's true
and fighting off the system and not trying to get felonies for shutting down the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
My sister
yeah.
was going through so much turmoil, even beyond just being charged, but just being a black, beautiful, strong black woman. And I seen the pain, and she seen it within me of, like, in different spaces. And we took our sisterhood, and I said, hey, you know what I do? Let's go cook.
And interestingly, before that even happened, when we were working on the first Ninth House project, I was at a protest, and I captured vocals from her saying, we ain't scared, mm-hmm. we ain't scared, we ain't scared. Yeah. And I was like, I recorded it on my iPhone because I thought it was so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I flipped it onto a record that made it onto the first Ninth House album when we published the CDs for the Soundstead Music Festival.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, like, I had already had, like, this desire to work with her, and she didn't even know she was sampled.
Yep.
You know,
until she was like, that's me, you know, and yeah. I was like, yeah, that is, girl, you better get that credit. And so that was just, it is like also providing a space of like sisterhood. It wasn't about like, oh, this girl's like, let me do a track with you. I can pick whoever I want to write with. And it, and she was like, you really want to work with me? Like, I don't know. I said, yeah, I just as much as you're learning from me being in the studio, I'm learning from you. And we got to teach each other. And that's what movement and revolution is about. And so, like, Duyo was the first session that Asha came in. She was
critical.
She was very critical because, one, she was like, this is Spanish and how my voice and I don't get it. And I was like, look, this is African, okay? You speak a colonized language of English. Spanish is a colonized language, too. This is tribal. So when you're singing these cantos, you're part of the coro. You're part of what this is, like a mix of bomba and rumba, and the spirits of our survivals from Africa to the indigenous, from where we come from to the indigenous of this land, being able to fight together, just like when we march and we shut things mm-hmm. down. And Duyo, that's what it represents, you know, like being woman and giving our consent to who we want to give it to. And also recognizing like we can be loud, we can be sexy, we can, you know, give it to who we want to, we can accept heartache, we can also feel the fire in our soul and give it to somebody, you know, and no one can tell us to shut up or be quiet or act a certain way, because look at what history's done, you mm-hmm. know, and no one can tell us shit.
Completely justified.
That's it. And Eliana Reyes is on the track, and she came in that was first session with that, and that's also the foundation of it, because she's Afro-Boricua and Dominicana, and as an Afro-Latina, you know, she was saying, you know, talking about the divisions between black and brown and being like, yo, she's like, I'm black, like, mm-hmm. but I'm also Latina, and I mm-hmm. have this identity between, even within racism in our own families and our
of
own
course.
Cultura. And it was able to have two sisters be able to recognize, like, yo, why are we separating each other?
Yeah.
We got to be just as enforcing. Our music is created by mestizas. Our music is made by the mixed blood of those who have soul. And those who don't have soul are the racists and the hate.
That became the spirit of the record, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, that set a tone
yep. yeah.
where the album is intersectional
yeah.
across the board. The genres, like, we're literally touching on multiple cultures throughout the process,
mm-hmm.
multiple sounds, multiple energies and perspectives. And I think that you can hear it in the experimental nature of the mm-hmm. records, because a lot of these tracks don't feel like stuff you've heard before.
Yeah.
I think that we really came at it from a very unique perspective, and they contributed to that major.
So I feel like this is going to be a difficult question for y'all, but if you could pick right now a song that helps kind of illustrate, maybe it is going to be Tuyo, but maybe helps illustrate that intersectionality for our listeners to tune into
mm-hmm.
next, which one would it
be? I would say Tuyo.
Tuyo's big. I would also say that Lock Into Your
and
Eyes.
And Lock Into Your Eyes is like, it features another featured artist, Irak Vitalicio Saenz, who's like the ambassador of Cuban hip hop.
Came up here through the Cuban Artist Exchange. Right?
Yep, yeah. and is resident of both Cuba, Havana, and Minneapolis.
So, like, I'm just like also hearing, like, it's all in the music and its influences and the collaborations and how those collaborations were made and the conversations that happened around them. So, pick
yeah.
one then.
That record is a house record. It's a jazz record.
It's like reggaeton
record.
It's like, yeah.
It's like all those things.
Yep.
And just the people who contributed to the whole
yeah.
conversation.
I think like
added value.
Yeah, like Duyo led up to Locked Into Your Eyes.
Yeah.
Like Duyo we recorded that, and it just expanded into being like, okay, this is heavy. This is like, you know, Missy Elliott is in Loíza in Puerto Rico, yeah. Right? It's like putting Missy in Loíza. And then Tuyo was like, okay, this is like the Dakota Jazz Club toned down version where everyone's happy and maybe not super critical about politics.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, you know, And like, I have favorite tracks that, you know, we might not talk about right now, but like,
should we play
every song means something special.
That I say you all should play either Tuyo or Locked in Your Eyes or whichever other one you want, but you all talked a lot about this notion of intersectionality in many cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play Tuyo.
And I want to give love to the sisters on the album. This is, I got backup vocals in with Asha Long and Eliana Reyes. This is Tuyo. J Hard is lit.
And now we have another special guest added to this session, which I'm so honored to be joining us again. This is Elsa, who is also a complete chingona, a leader, someone that Maria and I have to thank for all the work that she's done in our community to be able to be doing Latina Theory and doing our own work now.
Right.
And with that, Mama Elsa, so we know that Sasa is named after you. Can you tell us what you think about the album? Can you share that with our listeners tonight?
You know, as I was driving home today from volunteering at the bookstore, I'm thinking about the music and listening to, you know, some of the music, even with Sasa, and it's such a fabulous, fabulous CD. My daughter's so talented, you know. I'm very, very proud of her.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. I've been having a whole conversation with her and Jay Hart about the album, and you've come up so many times.
The production is excellent. The music's as good. You can understand the lyrics. It's really good.
Thank you.
What do you think about the song Sasa?
I love it. It's kind of like funny to listen to a song about, you know, you and some of her hints, you know, about what I did and rollers in her hair and, you know, and it's very touching. It's very touching. She hits on certain aspects of my life and it's funny, but it feels good.
Love it.
What do you think, with the election, it coming out on election, how does that signify the movement of women of color and indigenous women and what you feel that, you know, the movement's been about and where we need to go?
I am so frustrated with our current conditions today. The lack of education and knowledge that we need to bring to the table, you know, there's so many things that are occurring, and women of color need to be present because feminism has a different meaning for us. It always has had a different meaning. And I think we need to, you know, reinforce that meaning. And also we need to think in terms of how we're moving forward as a people. You know, are we being true to our values, or is it just, you know, a greed concept? I mean, I'm not certain. I think... you think in terms of political movements, socialism, capitalism, communism, you know, whatever. But there has to be an element of peace in our movements. And I don't see that happening. And I think it could happen. And it would definitely happen with women in leadership. You know? La chingona necesitan estar ahí.
Absolutely.
One quick question, and this is, you know, just for you to answer, is for those women out there that are mothers or, you know, head of the household and the families that want to take political leadership or just leadership in general.
Yes.
You know, what inspiration do you have? Yeah, what encouragement?
Yeah, you know, one of the things is that if you have the passion in your heart, you'll find a way to do it. And never give up on that passion, even if people think that it's crazy or, you know, what are you doing with the kids, bringing them to a meeting, bring them with you. Maria knows how that goes. You know, I brought her with me. I brought my son with me. And it's important that your voice be heard. So don't be a follower, you know. I mean, most of us need to follow, but if you have those leadership skills, if you have those qualities and you have the passion, never give it up. Continue to move it forward.
Thank you. We love you. And can people see you on November 16th?
I'm looking forward to it. Congratulations.
Oh, we're so excited that Sasa's going to be at the party on November 16th.
Yeah, sure. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. I love you.
Love you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
It's so cool to hear that, too, because, like, I think of how many meetings my mom dragged me to growing up.
Sure.
Like, was already a protest veteran by the time I was ready to do it by myself, you know, or like just knowing how to show up in a meeting and have the courage to speak up when other people don't, or just know when the right time to intervene might look like. And that's such an important life skill, and it translates beyond that environment.
Yes.
It translates to every environment.
Yes.
The courage to speak your mind and your peace.
That was beautiful. I'm so glad you invited Elsa to join us, Sasa to be in this conversation.
Yo, it's real.
How about Sasa?
It's just real, you know?
She's on the album, too.
She is on the album. She's on Mad Accomplished, so, like, the woman I'm asking questions to is my mom.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about this cover art. It's beautiful. Where did that inspiration come from?
Yo, I designed the cover art. I had collaborated with getting some photography done with Lady Shock and Master Wong, and by the river, Mississippi River, right on the west side, right where, you know, my story was raised. And just water. The album, we talk about water, and it also features Atabe, who's the Taina goddess of water and fertility and motherhood. And so it's like the connection of what I spoke about earlier, but also like where we're at in recognizing our indigenous roots and also paying homage to the indigenous land that we are on. And not just fighting for our own people and our own tribes, but fighting for the tribes on the land that where we live.
Absolutely.
In. Shout out to Oshun.
Shout out to Oshun as well, right? Oshun and Rio. And connecting that, like the Yoruba, you
it's
know,
beautiful.
Tribe, the Atabe with the Tainos and the Anishinaabe, who are fighting the Lakota for their water right now where we are from on this Minnesota. So it's like the blending of the Soto Rican in me. And paying homage to, you know, the energies and the blessings and the outfit that I'm rocking, you know, the wardrobe was put together by my mom, you know, so like you'll
beautiful.
Get to see her credits on there. And then the piece that I'm rocking is created, the Atabe piece, that the beaded necklace that I'm rocking is designed by Luz Maria Gonzalez and her mom, Aggie. And Luz Maria is Taina Boricua, and half Lakota. And so it's a deep,
it's full circle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's deep. You've got the you know, just the roots of what Soto Rico is made by Luz, right?
Yeah, beautiful.
And with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
She made it with her mom. And so like everything just ties in together so perfect with the album art that it's representative of everything we talked about.
The universe manifests things. Special times in your life, and it definitely feels like that.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. And I got to do my artwork, and that's something that, you know, we and you, we worked with Electric Machete Studios and
yes,
got
we
to
did.
Put our space and time. We forget to sometimes recognize that even putting things together with your hands and your eyes.
Yeah, that whole process.
Not necessarily using your voice, but having visual as your voice,
mm-hmm.
Is healing. And so I learned that from being with my luchadora hermanas and saying, you know what? I want to make this. I want to paint this. I'm an artist.
Absolutely.
I want to take this to be a canvas of mine and work with people that I think are dope.
Yeah, we shouldn't limit ourselves. Creativity knows no bounds.
That's so true. And I think that it's also so beautiful, I don't think, I know, that you decided, and powerful, to release this album on November 6th, which is Election Day.
Yes.
And I love that you touched on that while you were talking to your mom.
Yes.
Vote Sasa!
Hashtag Vote Sasa.
So, absolutely. Okay. So the album comes out today, which is Election Day,
mm-hmm.
November 6th. Make sure you've hit the polls. They close at 8.
Yep.
I will probably be knocking on your door after this session. I'm not kidding.
Come watch the parties with
yes.
Irene.
Yes.
I got our girl Irene who's been hyping the album too.
Yes, she has. She's so excited. Irene Fernando is running for Hennepin County Commissioner. With that, I want each of you to say one song that is your favorite right now, because I bet you it shifts. And share that with our listeners.
Deep.
Oh, man.
See how I just put them on the spot, y'all?
It does change every day.
Can I... Well, you get, so go say yours, bro. I mean, it does change. They're so, like, it's crazy listening with my husband, who shout out
I
to Muja.
Imagine.
Messiah, because he executive produced this project with me, and he made sure that me and J-Har were, like, on point. Like, y'all got... Because we do so much. You know,
absolutely.
Some people, they're just artists, and that's cool. That's their job. Like, I would, you know, but like me
I
and JR, we wish, but at the same time, we can't because we also are passionate in what we do outside of the studio.
And people
too.
See value in our work, and it's almost like drowning in a sea of opportunity. Like, there's too many good things that
oh,
we can contribute
absolutely.
To. So we have
yes.
to be, very protective of our art at the same
mm-hmm.
time and make sure we create space for it. I'll tell you, I'll just name a couple pieces for me that were awesome. Procedure, is one of my favorites. It's the most Timbaland Missy vibe on the whole project, which for me is like takes me back to my past, right?
Got
it's,
it.
It's almost nostalgic in a way.
Uh-huh.
I really love the attitude behind songs like Greater Than Gold, which I think is maybe one of the more sentimental
mm-hmm.
records on the project. And then the groove in Buscala is like undeniable.
Yeah.
Everybody who hears it starts tapping their feet. And like I just have so many instances.
Joe Mabbitt, who mixed the album, was like, this song like bangs all the time. I don't know what you're saying in it at the time, but I love it.
I don't know what half the album is talking about. I have to get Marie to translate it for me. Like, what
well,
is
there's
this
a chapbook. Chapbook will be available at the release show
there
on November 16th. It'll
Wonderful.
Give you an in-depth story.
I'm going to read it too, so I can learn what we're talking about. No, I'm kidding. Maria translated for me as we're going through the project, but for me it was a nice immersion.
Yeah, I mean, holler at us, peep the album.
Please tell us what your favorite song
is. My favorite, you know, Mujah Messiah is on the line right now. Mujah, you're live.
Yeah.
You're live. Baby, how are you doing?
I am excellent. How y'all doing?
I feel That's like
good.
You have to tell
so
people
good.
What your favorite song is because Mujah executive produced the project.
Oh, absolutely.
With us. And he really was, you know, it takes a strong partnership, a strong, you know, relationship with your other half to support you
mm-hmm.
in what you do, regardless if they're an artist or not. And Mujah, thank you for being that.
That's right.
And
I like studio.
He likes studio. That's his favorite. That's his favorite
yeah.
song. What do you think about J Hart? Show J Hart some love.
He's an amazing producer.
I kind of like, they were supposed to work on an album together, like, and they are, and I kind of just took J Hart away from
that
Mujah.
That's right. We were midstream.
Well, now we're getting all the story.
Yeah.
It's coming out, y'all.
Yes, indeed. But my favorite song, I would say, like, it changes all the time. I just don't have a favorite song. It's like a theater, I swear. Like, Lin-Manuel, I need you to come and help me put my play of salsa together. But I definitely love I love everything from like salsa. The Only One is very special to me too. Tuyo, I mean there's so many. Wine and Bubble Bath is another one that I freestyle.
That one's serious. That's a serious sexy joint. And I remember playing that and I remember Shaka was like, yeah, you're out of here with this one. This is major.
Yeah. And
so
and then I want to shout out my new favorite one is No Se Vende. And that really captured my work with the diaspora and being the new advisor for El Fondo Boricua. And after the hurricane and visiting Puerto Rico, that song. And then Redobles de Cultura, who's an amazing, phenomenal bomba ensemble out of New Eurico, came to Minnesota. And we got in the lab. You know, shout out to Twin Cities Mobile Jazz for holding it down in Puerto Rico.
Wonderful.
And No Se Vende is really how my heart feels in its connection to the diaspora. And like, you know, I've been able to like get feedback from my favorite hip hop artists, from Crazy Legs and Tony Touch and, you know, activists like Rosa Clemente and Time Machine Squad out of Puerto Rico, who've heard the album and then been like, Maria, this is like hearing them say thank you.
I love it. I love it. And so today that the album's being released, where can people find it?
They can find it on iTunes, Spotify. You can stream it there. You can also purchase it online directly from www.iammariaisa.com. Check it out.
I'm also have copies in my backpack, in my trunk.
We got USBs.
At my job. You know what I'm saying?
The bodegas.
I love you, bye.
Local bodega on site.
Wonderful. And this has been an exclusive interview with our very own Maria Isa about her album Sasa, produced by J Hart, who also joined us today. We also had special guest Mama Elsa.
Yes.
And special guest executive producer Mujah.
Yeah.
We had the whole family here.
For real. That's what it is. It's about, you know, making sure that the village can be strong, resist, hold accountability, and keep moving pa'lante.
And love each other.
Love.
All the way through it.
Always.
Thank you so much, y'all, for everything that you do and for this beautiful project.
Thank you. Oye, mami.